Good morning.
Good morning.
Renewing, transform, renewing and discerning. Renewing your mind and discerning God's will. I think that all of us in our life, maybe once or twice or many times, we face difficult decisions. During those trying time, when we face difficult decisions, when the future is so uncertain, and the circumstances around is so complicated, you just don't know what to do. And often we'll do research, we'll get information, we'll talk to experts, get their opinion, we'll Google, and now we have ChatGPT. And we ask for all kinds of advices. Mm-hmm. I'm a person who worry a lot. Even that when I was about 6 or 7 years old, when the next day is school picnic day, I couldn't fall asleep. I was worrying about tomorrow. So as a teenager, I worry about exam. I come from a poor family, as most families in Hong Kong at that time in the 1950s, 60s. My mom said, you better get into high school. If not, you will just go and sell dim sum for the rest of your life. Right? So I really worry for my school, for my exam. And I become a Christian in grade 7, still a teenager, 14. And I worry for my exam. I still remember one day a big brother in my class shared with me, Terence, don't worry. You know, we as children of God, God has a plan for us. Okay? We just follow his will and everything will be okay. Wow, I was so dumbfounded. I'm like a primitive man. And someone tell me the earth is round, it's not flat. So what? And then he shared the promise of the Bible with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Wow, how comforting. So I just need to find out God's will and then to follow it, right? Then how do I find God's will? This will be what we try to look at from Romans 12, 1 to 2 today. How to find God's will. Right? This is the Bible verse we just read. Romans 12, 1 to 2. So we talk about, I urge you, brothers, in view of something. In view, because of something. What something? Then we pause, trying to sum up what he has told the Roman Christian in chapter 1 to 11. In chapter 1 to 11, God explained the amazing salvation of Jesus Christ to the Christian. And behind this amazing salvation is the wisdom of God, the mercy of God. And God, when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And behind this is God's love. And this love is telling us, once we become his children, then he's all for us. This powerful God is all for us. No matter what is in the past, in the future, what's up, what is below, we are all in the love of Christ. So we are living in this amazing salvation of Christ. And because it's such a great mercy, therefore, Paul makes two appeals to the Christians. As Christians, as children of God, because of such a great mercy, we should first offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Your physical body, we are no longer living for ourselves. Your physical life, your arms and legs from now on will be for this God who loves us so much. And how to do that? Before we are all dead in sin. Our mind and everything is so corrupted. And so from now on, to live out our life day in and day out for God, we have to have this second response. Do not conform anymore to the pattern of this world. We were all corrupted by this world before. Now, remember, don't conform any longer. Instead, be transformed. How? By renewing your mind. So God, Paul, he makes two appeals to us. On the surface, these seem some demands God is demanding on his children. You should live for me. You should no longer follow your old pattern and change your change your mind, change your life. But really, no. These are not demands. You may find it hard. You may find it difficult. You may find that, oh no, to be a Christian is much worse than before, especially to many new Christians. When they find out, when they struggle, when they conflict, when this old life conflicting with the new life, they feel so miserable. No, Paul said, these are not demands. These are not restrictions. These are, in fact, blessing. If you have these two responses, then one thing amazing will happen. You will start having the ability to find out what is God's will in your life. And this will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will on your life. And when you find out and follow it, then you'll be living in God's blessing, in his blessing, just like the song we have sung just now, his love and mercy will follow you. Right? So, in another way, that's the way we can look at Romans 12:1-2. When you offer your bodies as living sacrifices and respond with no longer conforming to this world, be transformed by renewing your mind, then you will know the will of God. And when you live out this will of God, you are in fact offering your bodies as living sacrifices. And then you go back one full circle. Again, you go through another cycle and another cycle. And through each cycle, you get more, you get better and better to under God's will. And you find yourself living more and more in God's will. And you'll be experiencing more and more the blessing of God. And then it will become, in turn, a blessing to you. So this is one way to look at Romans 12:1-2. So the next question we'll ask is, what really is the will of God? Right. So this will be the next focus today. We'll try to understand what is the will of God and how to seek it and find it out. Right. Now in the Bible, when it talks about the will of God, usually there are two kinds. The first kind is the general will of God. They are explicit, clear teaching in the Bible for all believers, appropriate for almost all circumstances. We just need to know and to follow it. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Now these are the general will of God. We all should know about it. And then to obey it. You don't have to ask, is killing the will of God or not? No. Right? So this is the first kind. There is the general will of God. And then the second kind is the specific will of God. This is God's specific will on individuals, on each of one of us as children, students, parents, spouses, employees, workers, citizens. So for each of us, we have different role, and in our life, we have different situations at different times. And though, so therefore, at those different situations and different times, you have to seek and find it out. All right? So in the Bible, there's these two kinds of will. The first kind, the general will of God, is to know and to obey it. And we have don't have to ask again, to seek it again. What we have to have is a keen spirit, a learning spirit, so that you know more about this general will of God. So that's why we have Bible studies. That's why when you come to the church, we have to bring a good learning spirit. Right? So one problem about this is often we know there's this command, but we find it hard to obey it. For example, like 1 Peter 2:15. Let's read together. For it's God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, together. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ. So when people attack you, when people laugh at you, when people take advantage of you at work as a Christian, how should you respond? He said here, just by doing good. Love your enemy. Be kind to them. Oh God, impossible, so hard, right? The more I do that, he will take more advantage of me. But God said, no, just follow this. This is God's promise. You just do it, and then this will be the best way to silence those ignorant. When people, those ignorant talk of people about you as children of God. But I'm so miserable, I'm so sad, right? I expect the next time this will be my promotion. And this guy sitting next to me, he's my enemy, and then he got promoted, right? He got into that corner office, and I'm still sitting in this cubicle, right? I feel so sad. And then you said, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice about what? Right? So you feel so bad. Impossible. So one problem with this God's general will is we know about it, but we find it very hard. Now, this is not my focus today, right? So I just give you a quick answer. So just look, let's do it. Like how you tell your children to learn piano playing. You don't like it, but just keep doing it, right? Or like doing math. You don't like it, but you just keep doing it. But I'm not a math genius. I don't have the math mind. How can you ask me to keep doing it? Well, you may not have the math mind, but when you become a child of God, God's divine nature is all in you. And God's power is going to sustain you and help you to make it happen. So don't say, you cannot do it. God has, it's already, his nature is already in you. You just keep doing it. Like learning piano, like doing math. Right? And then if you keep on, you will find you in higher and higher ground. So this is a quick answer for this. Then another problem with this God's general will is like in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, God's will is that you should be sanctified. You should avoid sexual immorality. Let everything you say be good and helpful. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, etc. So for this kind, we think, oh, we are good. I don't think I'm in any of this. But not quite. Paul said, you have to no longer follow the pattern of this world. And today, online social media have created a vast ecosystem of immorality, of hatred, of harsh words, slandering, trolling, bashing, falsehood. It's so prevalent and encompassing that many of these kind of things become so okay to us. And we are getting, we're close to this red light area, okay? And we didn't know about it. And we are even into it, right? So just like online chatting, right? Sometimes all this hateful word, we may not do it, but we seem to enjoy it. We seem to like it. And then our mind gets contaminated by all this corruption of the world. And therefore, okay, in Ephesians 5:17, Paul warns the Ephesian Christian, do not be foolish. Understand the God's will. Sometimes we are already in the danger of this kind of corruption, and we didn't know about it, and we get closer and closer, and even into it. And therefore, that's why you have to transform your mind, to renew it, so that you won't get into the trick of Satan in all this. So this is, in fact, a starting point. So in this general will of God, we need to no longer conform, be sensitive to the atmosphere, to what is around us, and then get your mind be transformed so that we will not no longer follow it. So for this general will, that's one important thing. And in fact, even for the specific will, it's the same thing. So we come to the specific will of God. Here, as I said earlier, is the kind of God's will that's very specific for us individuals. Right? So in the Bible, for example, in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. So this is very specific to Jonah. God has a different specific will for Jeremiah, for Ezekiel, for Paul, for Peter. So this is the second kind, specific will. And like also in Acts 13, verse 1 to 2, in the church at Antioch, while they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Right. So this is different. Right. In some situations, God called Barnabas and Saul. In some other situations, God called Peter. Right. And so these are very specific will for individuals. In Romans 12, Paul said, for this specific will, what we have to do is that we have to find it out, to seek it, and to prove, to identify, okay, this is the will of God for me. And this is the good and acceptable and perfect will for me. Right? So, for us today, right? So when I was in university, the counselor teaching me, we used to pray, who is the partner that God is going to prepare for you? God has specific will for each of you, different from one to another person. Right? So who is the one that God has prepared for me as in my life partner? Should I change my job? Should I relocate? Should I come to Canada or go to Australia? Right? And God may lead us in different ways according to the situation and according to the time. Right? And as children of God, unlike before, we are to ask, to wait, to pray, and seek and find out God's individual specific will for us. So very often, we may have two kinds of error. For the new Christians, for the ignorant Christians, they don't never seek the will of God in our own life. We just go and do whatever according to our own likings. Or the money, this money, I make it after a lot of hard work. I can do whatever with the money. And we didn't realize that we are in fact just stewards of the money that God has entrusted to us. So this is the first kind of error about this individual will of God, right? The second kind of error is, so after a while we grow and we are no longer babies, we are no longer new Christians. We know that's God's will, but then we become too sophisticated Christians. In everything we claim God's will. Well, we should go to picnic, or we should go out for the church picnic next week. I know it's God's will. We should all go to Two Goose Pond and walk around there. And then after the picnic, we should have all go to Country Queen for our lunch, right? So in everything, we claim God's will and use it to impose on other people, right? And then even when I remember when I was, well, in my 20s and early 20s, all of my friends, we were seeking for the next partner, for our partner, right? And some people claim, I know it's God's will, you should marry me, right? So we try to use God's will as something to dictate on other people, right? No. Yes, you know God's will that I should marry you, but I also know God's will, I should not marry you, right? So we should all go and find out and test and approve what is God's will. Right? So for this individual specific will in our life, we should not take it lightly. We should know how to find it out. Right? So, what next? Then how are we going to find out, to test and approve what's God's will on us, on this individual will on us? Right? How to do it? So the verses that we have just read, do not conform to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will. So here, the first question is that, what is the mind? And then the second question is that, how to be transformed and how to renew our mind so that we can walk in the will of God. Right? So if we look at our mind, we can easily identify there is this tangible part of our mind. There's this knowledge and this is reasoning. Whether you are a Christian or you're not, we all have this tangible part of our mind. And Paul said, you should renew and transform it. So in a tangible part of our mind, there's the knowledge and reasoning. Measles is contagious through virus. So we should all be vaccinated. So this knowledge and reasoning. But there are also some other people. No. Measles vaccination is just a hoax. It's harmful to your body. Don't do it. So this is the first part of our mind. We may have different knowledge and different reasoning, and that leads to different results in our life. Conviction. Sense of value. Well, often when we make decisions, we unknowingly make the decision based on our conviction and based on our sense of value. To some people, they will think that money is almighty. the more the better. Nothing good to do good things. All right? So just do everything for the best of your advantage. All right? But then another kind of people, they may think in a total different way. Happiness is not from material gain. Helping others will bring you true happiness. So we're often in our mind, we make decisions based on conviction and different kinds of convictions. Right? Insight in people and judgment call. Right? So we all know, if you have children, you have gone through the different, the bringing up children, right? Some people are tiger mom, right? You just give command, have tight control, right? And some, they are just kind daddy. Maybe using the word sugar daddy is not good, right? But everything is okay, right? Just go and do it, right? So behind it, okay, is different discernment and different judgment call, right? And how do you discern the thinking of people? Right? Your whole family is facing this difficult decision. Should I relocate or not? So we relocate from Hong Kong to Canada. As the husband, you told the family, yes, I think we should all move from Hong Kong to Toronto. And the wife didn't say anything. She remained silent. Right? So what should I do with this silence? So the husband has to make a judgment call. Is she okay or is she not okay? Right? So behind that is the discernment and the judgment. And then also the personality and temperament. Some people are cautious. Some people are adventurous. Some people are easygoing. Some people are harsh and demanding. Some people are marathon runner, means that they make quick decisions. they can last a long run, but some, they are sprinter. So behind all these, when we are facing decisions, and we can identify these different kind of tangible traits in our personality, that how people from this, what should I do, to the let's go, right? So that's this one part of our person, the tangible part, right? Then it's okay, is that simple, right? So we just upgrade these four areas, then we can face all kinds of difficult decisions. Well, not quite. You're going to the doctor's office. You know you have to make a difficult decision. What kind of treatment? I know I'm having cancer, but what kind of treatment I should do? Right? So you go through all this on your way to the doctor's office. You consult three doctors. Two doctors said, you should go through this chemotherapy. And one doctor said, no, no, no. So you go and find knowledge, you find expert opinions, and you get two. Two doctors say yes, one doctor say no. And then you think about it. Oh, all this target treatment, it costs a lot. And it may not be effective. So your reasoning, your sense of where you said, no, 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 maybe I should not do it. Right? But then you know, even though you think you should not do it, your wife wants you to do it. Right? So you have this discernment, this judgment. What should I do? I really don't want to do it, but my wife wants it. And then I'm really too scared. All this chemotherapy is not easy. It's painful. I really don't want to do it. So from your temperament, personality, you say no. So yes, no, yes, no. And you're on your way to the doctor's office. You have to tell your doctor, what is your decision, right? You really don't know, right? So you go into the office, you sit down in front of the doctor, you take a deep breath, and they say, no, I'm not going to do it. So this very final moment, yes and no, and then you say, no, right? So there's this intangible part of your mind, your intuition, right? At that point, you put together all these tangible factors, and then you make up your mind. What is behind this making up your mind? How your mind put together all these four tangible parts and come to this intangible decision? You say no. We all experience that. Do you? Right? How does it work? We don't know. It's a good question, and it's a big question, and there's a lot of research, right? You ask philosophers, psychologists, social scientists, medical doctors, physics, chemistry, biology. They analyze your mind, and they try to find out how does this intangible part of your mind work. And they have no good answer. Right. So there is this psychologist, Daniel Kahneman, right? He analyzed all these different kinds of difficult decisions, right? And they identified that there's two parts in our thinking. There's a system one, which works very fast, very quick, but in fact, it's the intangible part of your mind, right? And then there's system two, where you think slow, right? Because you're going through all this knowledge, conviction, discernment, temperament, right? And then you make a decision. Okay? So he calls system one and system two. I give it better names than here, right? Even though he's a Nobel laureate, right? So he said that, and then he tried to do some analysis. He didn't have a good answer for the system one. But he thought, well, how often our system is biased and controlled unknowingly by the system two, by all these four other factors, right? So he said there's this fast thinking and there's this slow thinking and how these two affect each other. And therefore, he gave a good analysis. And therefore, when you make your decisions, you're in fact refracting these two systems. And for all this work, he got a Nobel Prize, right? In 2002, right? So, oh, I know all this already, right? I should have got the Nobel Prize. So this is how the world approach, right? Yeah. Well, the Bible's not asking us to give up on the tangible part of our mind. The Bible also acknowledges there's an intangible part of our mind. But the Bible goes through one more further step. You can do a transformation of this. Right? And to the world, they will try to do their own transformation. Right? So when you go to counseling class, when you go to workshops, they will say, okay, use education to improve your knowledge and reasoning. Learn sound moral judgment. And then that will help you to build a robust and strong sense of value, the right conviction. Build up your life experience. Learn from other people's life experience. And then that will give you discernment and judgment. And have good understanding that we will go to seek counseling, etc., so that you understand yourself, your personality, your temperament. And this will help you to improve your tangible mind. And then, of course, there's all these other technology, workshop, Google, YouTube, etc. Right? So that's how the world approach it. And as for the intangible mind, that's really not much. I can help you, right? They don't have direct answer. What they can do most is analyze it and see how it related to the tangible part and therefore be aware of it and then be careful. Right? So this is how the world approaches it. But today, in Romans 12, we learn how the Bible is teaching us to approach this tangible part and the intangible part of our mind, how to no longer conform, but be transformed by it, right? So, don't conform and be transformed. When you go through all these four parts of the mind, the world is self-centered. They try to shape your thinking according to the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And therefore, don't be transformed in your mind, no longer conformed to this trick and the way of this world. And the Christians, we need to transform and renew it. First, to detect the falsehood of the teaching of this world, its philosophy, its influence, and then we have to develop the mind of God about it. Okay. So therefore, the Bible said, you have to immerse yourself in God's word and then rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on His power so that you will gradually learn, obey, reflect, and practice it. Okay? So yes, a lot of the way the world teaches, they're valid, they're not bad. But you must use the word of God to distill it so that you can filter them through the word of God, filter them through the Holy Spirit in you, and then you have to gradually learn, obey, reflect, practice it, and then you will get better and better. So you sign up for a workshop. You want to know how to be successful in life for our children. And then you are taught about what does it mean to succeed, what is a good school, a good job, good position, good power and money. But then you have to ask, as a Christian, you have to ask, what does the Bible say about success? What does the Bible say about making money? The Bible said, don't trust just in the wisdom, in the power of this world, but you have to understand the kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For this is what God delights. And therefore, when you go to all these different kind of workshop, they teach you about world wisdom, strength, power, and how to succeed in it. But as a Christian, you have to learn about the kindness, the justice, and the righteousness of God. And then when you do that, the Holy Spirit will upgrade your mind, and then you will make the right decision. Right? In your judgment, in your discernment, right? In this world, God presented their own kind of people. He said, these are the kind of people that you should follow. But look at the Bible. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. God hates pride and arrogance. In this world, where often they will show up these kind of people who seem to be so powerful, so sure of themselves. And the Bible said, watch out. Okay. This is not the kind of people that you should learn and follow. God hates pride and arrogance. And God hates lies. Okay? And therefore, when you look at this world, you have to develop this mind of God so that you will make the right decision. Okay? And self-understanding, the same way. Right? The world said you have to be strong, to be powerful, to appear like that. Right? And the Bible said no. You should always ask God to search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." So the way we have to have this way to transform our life, so that we no longer conform to it. And then, after that, when we go to the intangible part, when we are at that point of making our decisions, again, Paul said, you have to let the Bible to transform you, right? To guide you. At that final moment, when we are making the decision, trust and pray so that the Lord will guide your mind and the surroundings. Let's read together this. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. Right. So you're on the way to this doctor's office. You really don't know. So I take this treatment or so not. God, please teach me to do my will so that I know you are behind me and your spirit is leading me and I'm standing on a firm footing. Then you take a deep breath and then you act. And then you make that decision. Doctor, I'm not going to take that treatment. Am I correct? This decision is not 100% sure. Is it good? Maybe. Maybe not. I may still feel anxious. Yes, I may still feel anxious. But just hold tight to an assurance. And then make the decision. And then move on. And then after that, you rest in God. Is this decision right? Yes. Maybe no. But remember, for it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. I remember times and times again. I have this experience. Okay? Years ago, I have to make a decision. Should I quit this job? This is a very good job. Good earning, okay? Never get fired. Right? And then move back to Canada. Oh, it's a really a difficult decision. Right? I decided I'm going to quit. Right? So I have my resignation letter ready in my pocket. The next day, I walk to the personnel office. I'm about to submit my resignation letter. I'm at the door. I turn around. Oh, should I do this? Right. I go back home. I'm so miserable. Right. The next day, I take a deep breath. I take the resignation letter, go to the personnel office, and then again, I stop and turn around. Right. Oh, I just couldn't make it. Right. On the third day, I'm so struggled, so torn. Right. At that time, my brother, he just finished medical school. Right? So he has a lot of medicine sample. And then he gave it to me. I look up those medicine samples and then I find some tranquilizer. I said, okay, I'm going to take the tranquilizer. Right? I look at the expiry date. It's all already expired. It doesn't matter. I'm going to take it anyway. So I took the medicine. Go to the personnel office, take a deep breath, go in, and submit my resignation letter. Did I make? Of course, I pray a lot. Okay, before that, I asked God to show me his will. I kind of know. I like coming back to Canada. Okay. But I'm not sure, is this in human's eye a good decision or not, right? My wife is pregnant. Will I get a job back in Canada? Right? or I'm unemployed. What am I going to do with my family? It's such a big decision. I'm so anxious. Yes, I will feel anxious. So I take a deep breath. I take some tranquilizer, or expire already. I walk in and submit my resignation letter. And then I go back home. So that afternoon, I told my wife, I submitted my resignation letter. Okay, let's go to the beach and take a walk. Right? And so we go there. We and then I said, God, no matter what, whether my decision is good in the eyes of man or not. Well, often when we think about good decision, we think whether it's a good decision, is a decision a good result or not? But not quite, right? A good decision is whether a decision that I make, no matter what will be the result, something that I depend on Him and look up to Him and let the Holy Spirit guiding me. Although there's still this hesitation, this fear, but God, you know, it's God, you work in me, including all this fear, uncertainty, hesitance, these are all part of my mind, and you work in me to will and to act, and I just trust to you all this, including my uncertainty, my fear, and whether I know this is a good decision, whether it's in my job or in my medical treatment, I just look up to you. And when I look up to you, this will be the right decision. How about the result? No. Seeking God's will is not seeking the expected outcome. We just trust whatever the outcome is. I just want to know, is at this moment, am I depending on you? And with my trembling hand and heart and feet, I'm depending on you, looking up to you. Then God, I will hold tight to Philippians 2:13. It's you who works in me to make up this decision, despite all the fear and trembling and uncertainty in me. It still is you, and then I'll just walk in you. Right. So we just rest. Is this decision right? Yes, when we are trusting in Him and look up in Him. Is it the decision leading to the good result? Don't know. Okay. The result is still in God's hand. Whatever is the outcome, seeking God's will is to have this dependence on Him at this moment and not assuring the expected outcome in our life. And then with that, I take a deep breath, I submit my resignation, and then I come back to Canada. Right. So, this will be the kind of struggle in our intangible mind when we are making that final moment of decision. Right? So we trust it in God's hand. So Romans 12:1-2, as I said, employ the transform and renew tangible mind. We still make decisions according to all those four factors, but we let God's word transform our mind when we make it. All right? And then we trust our intangible mind when we make that final decision in God's hand. Do we depend on inner feeling? Will there be inner feeling? Yes, maybe. All right? God may give you some kind of inner feeling, whether you should make certain decision or not, yes, but don't let that be the dominant factor in deciding God's will. Okay. Do we look for external signs? Maybe sometimes God provides certain external situation to guide your thought. Okay, I believe this is what God is leading me. So, okay, sometimes you look at our inner feeling. Sometimes you look at external signs. We look at what's around us, but not too much, okay? Not too much. God may put certain words of the Bible in you that you feel this is the guidance of God. That's okay. Right? But don't let that be the sole decision factor. But let the transformed mind be the major part to help you to make the decision. Right? And then there may be external signs, some circumstances. It's okay. But there's supportive evidence, not the sole reason. Okay. And of course, avoid spiritual psychic. What's spiritual psychic? I'm going to see the doctor. I'm going to make this decision. Should I take this cancer treatment or not? If on my way to see the doctor, you make all the traffic lights green, then I will say yes, I will take the treatment. So this is spiritual psychic, right? Or if I open the Bible or open the hymn book, you give me a good hymns, then I will say yes. So my mother once, she was praying whether what will happen to her sick daughter, will she recover or not, right? So she make this prayer. And then she opened the hymn book, Abide With Me. What? You know the song Abide With Me? Not all of you know. That's a well-known funeral song. Right? And then he turned to this funeral song. What? God is going to not heal my daughter? Right? But God has grace. God healed her daughter. Right? So these are called spiritual psychic. Right? Don't look for that. Some inner feeling is okay. Some external signs is okay. But we have a transformed and renewed tangible mind. And then look up to trust God in your intangible mind. And he will guide your path. Right? So, I think I will skip this one. Right. So Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. He's trying to teach us is that there's this part. Yes, like ordinary people, we all have this tangible part and intangible part of mind. And then we have to renew and transform it for daily ongoing practice and maturity of this tangible part. And then by faith and trusting God and His guidance and control. On what's around me and what's in me, when we make that final decision, that He will be behind it. And then He will be guiding our path on it. Right? So in Romans 12, 1 to 2, this is what we look at today. Be transformed and renewed by the Holy Spirit in the whole person. There's this thinking part. There's this inner judgment part, where you part, and our personality. Ask God to guide it. And then in the final intuition, we look up to Him. And then as we grow and get more and more mature in it, and then it will lead to our proficiency in our ability and power to act in our life. So may God help us continue to grow in this the mind and our decision making through the learning of this Romans 12, verse 2. So let's read all this together one more time. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will.